fans, and welcome to another edition of NDB Media Sports Talk with the guys, all of us running quarterbacks on Saturday.
How's it going, everyone?
He's the big dog, and I'm the scorekeeper. Good morning, big dog. How are you this early in the morning?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Doing well, big dog. I'm excited. I'm jazzed. Other than hating iTunes, life is good in the hood, big dog. It never starts when I want it to. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Ronda Rousey starts off, you know, when you want it to. Because here's a Maxim magazine.
Ronda Rousey?
Rousey, whatever. So, sorry, Ronda.
Yeah, get her name right, because she will kick the shit out of you.
Yeah.
And me, and Cal Potato, and Carmen, and...
Except for Raimi. Because he's on Raimi's program on a regular basis.
Really?
Oh, Raimi does all of the MMA stuff. How do you think I got into the football stuff? Because of Raimi.
Well, she is...
Raimi is the one to blame, damn it, for me waking you up early on Saturday morning.
She is the hottest and the best MMA fighter out there right now.
Oh, no doubt about it. Big Dog, let me get this message going out there real quick. That Sports Talk with the Guys is on. Sports Talk with the Guys is on. He's live. Ernie Banks. Can you imagine that?
Yes, I saw that. Very.
And no love for Blog Talk Radio.
Of course not.
I'm shocked. Even though we've had 7 picks in the last 3 weeks. I mean, if we should have had a pick, it should have been for that one. Oh my goodness, I couldn't believe it. It was a nice interview. Couldn't believe it. It's absolutely awesome.
Mr. Cub himself.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Hall of Famer. So we may have had a Hall of Famer and a potential Hall of Famer on. Thank you, Big Dog, for the drugs this early in the morning. Courtesy of where? Well, not courtesy, but...
Siete once.
Siete once. Wow, you put it on top of my Klingon battlecruiser. That is my Klingon battlecruiser.
You don't want
that. No! That's the one I do want. No. I just thought it was funny. It was my Star Trek innuendo. Or as Todd would say from Scrubs, no, it's your endo. Oh, my Lord. Well, we are live, ladies and gentlemen. We're trying to get this show on the road. We're going to go over some baseball stuff right now. There's some football results from this Thursday, which they've done, like I told you, because NFL is establishing another night of football. It's done. It is there. It is Thursday night now, and they're trying to get that sold like Monday night and Sunday night.
I know. We talked about that like 3 months ago.
Actually, we've talked about it for several years now.
No, I mean that it was on Thursday nights. If they were having a Thursday night game.
But we're seeing it come to fruition now. And there's some other football news I'm going to be able to go over with you.
Good, because I have no news because my daughter accidentally erased everything for me.
Really?
Yep, she was doing homework on my computer, and she went to save hers, and it said, do you want to save previous document? And she said, no.
Aw.
So my 7 pages of notes were gone.
In other words. Your entire preparation for the NDB Media Sports Program on Thursday morning has gone to plot.
Yeah.
We're all right, big dog. I was more finally getting into this mentally. I think I'm going to be able to do it. And big dog, with the drug that you provide in the morning, oh, my Lord. Eli, Eli, lava sabatani. Yeah, figure that out, kids. You'll know what it means. Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to do some baseball stuff right now. As you know, congrats. Did you want to do that? Well, I have them as well, big dog. You do the scores, I'll do the standings.
Oh, yeah. You do the scores, and I'll do the standings. That's fine.
Whatever. Here, you finish your coffee. Ladies and gentlemen, Atlanta 9 over the Chicago Cubs 5. In 10 innings, Cincinnati edge, Pittsburgh 6-5. Of course, a final in 7 innings. Had it been a perfect game, it would have counted in Roger Noriega's book. I'm sorry, the scorekeepers, or the artists formerly known as. Cleveland edged Houston 2-1. Washington,
out?
I'm sorry?
Was it ringing out?
More than likely, final in 7 innings. Yeah. I don't know the actual cause, but it more than likely is. I believe the Indians now qualify for the playoffs because of it. So Washington shut out Miami 8-0. The Mets. In a worthless game, beat Philadelphia 6-4.
Worthless team.
Yeah, and speaking of another worthless team, the New York Yankees, 5-1 over San Francisco. C.C. Sabathia finally pitched a game, and A-Rod passes Lou Gehrig with his 24th Grand Slam, meaning A-Rod now has the most Grand Slams in Major League Baseball history. Wow. That's unbelievable. Detroit. Wallop the White Sox 12-5. Of course, Tampa Bay is 18 innings fighting for playoff survival. Both teams 5-4 in 18 innings in Tampa Bay's favor. Boston continues to win 6-3 over Toronto. Obviously, someone can beat Toronto because certainly the Yankees can. Colorado 9, Arizona 4, and in 10 innings, St. Louis 7-6 over Milwaukee. Kansas City, Los Reales de Kansas City, beat Los Planeros de Texas 2-1. Of course, Oakland 11-0 over Minnesota, so there are no Twins tonight. Seattle lost to the Angels of Chavez Ravine in 11 innings, 2-2. And, of course, San Diego shut out the Dodgers because the Dodgers are still wallowing in their dip in the playoff divisional pool, which is unbelievable. Even John McCain got into this one.
What do you think about that hubbubaloo?
Hubbubaloo?
Wow,
what a nice word this morning, big dog.
What do you think about that, about the fact that they jumped into the pool and everybody's making such a big old thing about it?
Look,
now,
I understand why they're offended.
Yes, I understand also, but the fact
that, like,
also,
that was so, you know, it just happened.
And the fact that it was there was no one in the stands.
Yeah.
Everybody was gone. There was no one in the field. They weren't mocking anybody. They were just happy. Now, of course, some traditionalists are saying, well, that's because you don't mess with the other team's ballpark. And even though this is a pool, it is still part of the ballpark. You can go in and party in the locker room because you win your championship. You can mess up the locker room and stuff. But they say you just do not mess with the person.
That's baloney. Because the players go into the stands from time to time. They do that.
Well,
not supposed to, but they've done it.
Well, I'm going in the stands. That's not
well,
the first ballpark.
I understand. Look, I'm a traditionalist, and I am a Dodger fan. And Shane Rose like, really? Right? The Dodgers fan? No, I've always been, but I still prefer the Yankees first and foremost, and I still prefer the Yankees. But this whole thing is ridiculous. And then McCain to get involved. Actually, McCain, the reason why you're pissed is because the Dodgers actually accomplished something because they won and took a plunge. You guys in government haven't done crap. That's why you're pissed.
Yeah, because he came out pretty strong. He called the Dodgers all a bunch of idiots. And I forgot who it
obviously
was.
He didn't get any last night.
I forgot who it was that answered. There we go. That answered back. Said, well, you know, I guess Senator McCain's just angry because he knows what it is to come in second place a lot. So I was like, wow.
I did not see that one. And yes, he came in second place in 2000, and he came in second place in 2008.
So,
and to be more specific, second place in the Republican nomination in 2000 against George W. Bush, and then to Senator Barack Obama in 2008. I have gone on record saying that I would have voted for McCain had it been any other time. And as a matter of fact, I did vote for McCain in 2000. But, you know, whatever. Shouldn't even say that because wackos are out there. But whatever. I think it is a waste of time. It is stupid, stupid, stupid for McCain who got involved in that. I mean, look, this happened after the game was over. Big F deal. I agree, Big Dolly. It's stupid for them to have actually done that. Hey, guys, I'm kind of like Darth Vader, huh? I'm talking and coughing at the same time. Pretty good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right, Big Dog, why don't you go ahead and handle the standings now?
Well, actually, what I was going to say with the thing with the pool, because they brought up a thing saying, oh, well, you jump into the pool, and they have to clean the pool.
Of course.
So that's what they were complaining about.
But they do that all the time anyway. They had to stay later.
No, well, what they were saying was, well, what difference does that make? Because when you're in the clubhouse and they party in the clubhouse for winning the title, they got to clean the clubhouse. So, okay, so they clean the clubhouse. What difference does it make?
Yeah, BSE.
Yeah, so.
I'm laughing at that, you know. It's just unbelievable. What a waste of time. I get it, though. I really get it. About, well, you're not supposed to mess with the other teams and stuff, but come on, they're all major leaguers.
Well, they were saying because they said they wouldn't have made such a big deal about this, which I doubt, but they say they wouldn't have made such a big deal if a lot of the Diamondbacks, because it was Arizona, right?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of the Diamondback players, they say, were very had their feathers ruffled, so to speak.
Of course they did.
Because of this. Not a lot of them, but there were a few that did not like the fact that the Dodgers jumped into the pool. So they said had no player said anything, then they wouldn't have brought this up. I'm like, yeah, right.
Arizona was picking on it. No one knew about it. The Dodgers took a plunge. It's like going to your neighbor's house, having a party, and the pool is, well, that's actually the thing, yes. It's going to your neighbor's house, they're having a party, the pool is fenced off, and you jump the fence and jump in the pool. That's the same way.
Yeah.
It's, well, it is rude, inconsiderate, but damn it, it's, I mean, look, it's like winning the lotto at your friend's house, you jump in the pool. The friend wouldn't have given a crap. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
All right, well, here are the standings in the American League in the East. It is Boston in the lead with a 9-game lead over Tampa Bay, followed by Baltimore, Yankees, and Toronto. In the Central, it is Detroit with a 6-game lead over Cleveland, followed by Kansas City, Minnesota, and Chicago. In the West, it is Oakland with a 7.5-game lead over Texas, followed by the Angels, Seattle, and Houston. In the National League, it is the Atlanta Braves with an 8.5-game lead over Washington, followed by Philly, the Mets, and Miami. In the Central, it is St. Louis actually in the only real race. St. Louis only has a 2-game lead over both Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, followed by Milwaukee and the lowly Cubs. And in the West, of course, it is the Dodgers, clinching their division. Excuse me, guys. Followed by Arizona, 10.5 behind, San Diego, San Francisco, and Colorado. Now, in the wild card, the very, very important wild card race now, in the American, it is Tampa Bay and Cleveland. They both have a spot, with Texas just 0.5 game behind, followed by Kansas City and Baltimore, 2.5 behind, and your Yankees, 3 games behind.
There's just too many to climb over. Is it possible? Hell yeah, there's 9 games left.
Yep.
But, yeah. I mean, as far as playoff runs, how many teams are involved?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm still against this, that stupid 1-game playoff, but hey, look at what's going on.
Yep.
Most of these divisions would be wrapped up by now with one playoff team, but the season is still not over. So whatever you want to say, folks, you still are talking about baseball this late in the season, but we'll see what Coffee has to say because Coffee is here this early in the morning.
Okay.
Welcome, Coffee. It's been a little while. I hope you're doing well. Matt Alvarez.
Him.
Yes, Matt Alvarez in the chat room. He's going to go get some cereal right now to have breakfast, so that's good for you. And as
like
I mentioned.
Terms?
No, he said.
For loose?
No!
Special K?
No, he said. Cheerios.
Yeah.
That's what he said. And of course, Tim McLeod. And as I put on the Twitter feed yesterday, if Lenny Melnick is the fantasy godfather of, I'm sorry, if he's the father, well, I'm sure he's the fantasy godfather. But that's a conversation I won't get into. If he is the godfather of fantasy sports, well, fantasy would still apply to him.
Fantasy baseball.
But there's still another phrase that applies to him. But again, that's another conversation for another day. Mr. Melnick is a fantasy wild, and Kim is the first prince of fantasy baseball. Guru, everything, because this guy knows his shit. I don't think he'll do fantasy, because I just leave it to Tim. Tim really knows his stuff when it comes to fantasy baseball.
Yes.
And it's a thrill that he's here this morning. He's been working a lot. Tim, let us know how the weather is. Hey, guys, let us know how the weather is where all of you guys are at. Surprisingly, we're going for an East Coast audience, and no one's here from the East Coast.
In the wild card to finish it off in the National League, it is the Pittsburgh Pirates and Mr. Scorekeeper's very own Cincinnati Reds. And the Washington Nationals are just 5 games behind, and that is like the only race. This one's almost wrapped up. You say there's 9 games left? So it's very quickly.
About, I think, 8 games now.
So it's very quickly.
No. There's still some time left.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about for the Nationals, though. 5 games behind with 9 left. It's getting kind of. Yeah. So.
No, the Nationals have to, get close to the Reds and the Pirates.
Well, yeah, they're five games behind.
Behind them? Oh.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's
it's wild card.
Yeah, you're the Pirates and your very own Reds are have these. And I'm you didn't see this game the first time. And so I was wondering. I'm like, okay, he's not listening to me.
It's not personal. It's just worrying about everything. You know, Big Dog, I envision reaching across and slugging you right now when you said your very own Reds. I actually envisioned it, and that didn't even happen in Las Vegas. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. In Vegas, you didn't have to reach over.
Yeah, you know, the stuff that happened in Vegas, there were no punches thrown. Oh, my God. Did you see Mike joined us on Facebook? Did you see my comment? That little rat bastard. He's been on Facebook for an hour, and he's already poked me? That's a little faster, Bill. That was kind of funny, I'm sorry.
No, I don't know. Back to A-Roid and his record-breaking 24th Grand Slam. I mean, first of all, to be put into that position to be able to do that and to come through, you know.
24 times.
24 times, followed by, of course, Mr. the great Lou Gehrig at 23 times, so stays in the Yankee family, the record, at least.
Oh, God.
Followed by another, you know, it's funny because the top four guys, two are steroid users and the other two aren't. You had A-Roid at number one, Lou Gehrig at 23 at number two, Manny Roy Ramirez is third at 21, and Mr. Eddie Murray with 19.
That's impressive. Now, we do have a caller. Raider Nation is on the line. We're going to take the call right now. So let's do the obvious. Remember, there's a one-second delay, so let us know who you are and where you hail from because you are live on Sports Talk with the guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterback on Saturday. Morning,
hey guys.
What's up?
Well, morning. This is actually Frank from Manhattan. I know it's Raiders Nation, but I actually moved here to New York. So I do have a football question for you guys.
Dude, what's going on?
So obviously being here in New York, I'm not a Giants fan or a Jets fan by any means, but everyone keeps talking about the game tomorrow and how actually it might be an easy win since it's Carolina. I keep telling everyone don't overlook Carolina. I mean, they're 0-2 as well, and their coach's job might be on the line, so I don't think they're a team to overlook for tomorrow. I don't know if you guys agree with me or not.
Well, you're talking about the Giants versus the Panthers 0-2. Yeah, you know what? I agree. The Giants, what is going on with them? Someone who's in the chat room, Couch Potato, always refers to the Giants as the Jekyll and Hyde team, but that's during the middle of the season. They're 0-2. Right. Not good for them. And I believe his job is on the line, man, big time.
I don't know. It could be one of those games. Like last year, the same thing happened. I mean, the Giants went and stomped Carolina. So I don't know if it's going to be one of those kind of games or it's just going to be complete opposite.
Well, I guess, you know, Carolina, you tell me.
Oh. You pussy.
Okay, well, we got some music in the background. I do apologize. No, it wasn't Couch Potato. But we're going to go ahead and bring our friend from Carolina, who's in this morning. Tell me what's going on there, pal. What's up, Brian?
What's up, guys?
Not much.
What's up?
How you doing?
Oh, getting ready for some football, and was interested about the question your caller just had.
Yeah, well, we just lost a caller right now, so I don't know if...
I can still answer.
Yeah, well, you can definitely still answer. I believe this job is on the line. What do you think there, Bri?
It is. I mean, it should be already over, but, I mean, Carolina's one of those teams. They've been in the league. You look at the last few years, I mean, they're leading in the fourth quarter and they just find a way to lose. To me, that's coaching, guys. And just in my opinion, that's the mentality of their coach. For some reason, they can't get over the hump. I think unless they went about three or four straight, this coach could be in trouble, honestly. Carolina should be at least a 500 team right now. I mean, I'll give them the loss to Seattle. They had that. And then last week, choking to Buffalo of all teams. Come on, you can't beat Buffalo. You need to reevaluate. But tomorrow's game is interesting. The Giants 0-2. I don't know if y'all know, but Tom Coughlin's brother died this week. He fell and hit his head. He was getting in a cab, fell, hit his head, and died. And I think that's maybe going to rally this Giants team. That scares me, being a Carolina Panthers fan, that the Giants finally have a purpose and something to play for. It's going to be an interesting game. I like Carolina to to swoop by in this one, being at home.
Oh, oh, wow.
Well,
yeah.
just in case anybody's wondering, ESPN has New York by 4.5, and the Vegas line is on the Giants by 1. So they are a close game.
As a matter of fact, and in the USA Today Sports Weekly, they have winning 34-20 and 14 points. And they're saying that New York hasn't started 0-3 since 1996 when Tom Coughlin was a second-year coach with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Eli Manning was a junior in junior high. So go figure. As a matter of fact, why don't you give us some college news there, Bri? Are you going to any games this morning? Because I understand you're going to be going to Oregon next year.
Next year.
I said
yeah,
next
I'm gonna,
year.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said this year. My bad, Rodge. My bad.
Yeah,
my
it
bad.
Is your bad.
Yeah.
So why don't you continue, Bri?
Well, we have this is not a big week for college football, but this kind of weeks where there's not many big games usually means upsets, and teams need to be on the watch out for these small teams coming in and beating them. We do have Florida-Tennessee, the 3:30 game. Tennessee's coming after a 45-point loss at Oregon last week. Florida had a bye week last week after losing to Miami, so this game's going to be closer than Vegas says. Vegas says 17-point spread. I think it's going to be a lot closer. I think Florida gets the win to close. And then tonight, ESPN 7:45 Eastern, we have Auburn on the road at Baton Rouge. LSU 3-0, Auburn 3-0. In the SEC West, Auburn is an 18.5-point underdog in this game, which I do believe is a little high. I think Auburn could possibly pull the upset, but it's going to be another close one. So there's two SEC games with big spreads that have, you know, big lines that I think is going to be closer. And then out on the West Coast, Stanford. We're going to see how good Stanford is tonight. They're at home playing Arizona State. I don't know if you remember, Roger, Arizona State won with a little controversy last week against Wisconsin. Did you see that?
No, I heard you guys talking about it. So why don't you remind us, please, Brian? You know if they went from Brian Wright to Brian?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, Arizona State was at home, and it was a Pac-12 officiating crew. And at the end of the game, Wisconsin had about 18 seconds left, 20 seconds left, something like that. And the quarterback went to the middle of the field to down it, and they were going to spike it, kick the field goal, and win the game. But the quarterback kind of actually threw the ball out when he was close to being on a knee, and the referee thought it was a fumble at first, and so did the defense. So the defense jumped on the ball, and by the time the referee could get the ball up and get it set, the time ran out. It was very controversial because the official wouldn't move from the ball. So I don't know. That was a little controversy, but Arizona State's got a chance tonight to show that wasn't a fluke. I think Stanford better watch out. And then you have USC playing at home today against Utah State. And you know as well as I do, they've been struggling this year. So Utah State, I'm going to put USC on upset alert today.
Well, all right. Hey, Brian, I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian hopefully will stay on with us. I'm not sure if he's going to a football game this morning. We will be talking about it a little bit further. But Brian has two programs, I think even up to three programs, here on Blog Talk Radio. Brian, give us your channel and when you're on, pal.
Well, we are on blogtalkradio.com/Tarbino. It's weigh-in sports talk every Sunday and Wednesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. So we're having some fun, and it's the best time of year for sports talk radio, guys. We have the NFL, Major League Baseball, and college football going, so it's just a lot of fun.
There is a lot of stuff going on. I believe we do have the couch potato on with us. Sonny, you're live. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I called in regarding Rivera. Rivera is the coach of the Carolina Panthers, and he just may be in trouble if they lose the game, definitely. But on the other side, Tom Coughlin, I think he's all right. I think he's only led his team to two Super Bowls and to two Super Bowl wins as well. And So I think he's all right. He can have a crap year and be okay, but there'll be a lot of heat on him if they don't win. But, man, oh, man, the NFC East is just horrid this year. And I hate to say this because I'm not a Cowboy fan, but 8-8 might win the division, and the Cowboys actually have a good chance of winning there. They're running shoot for
– Told you.
That new offense that Chip Kelly is putting together up there in Philadelphia, you know, maybe exciting to watch, but if it don't generate W's, who cares in reality, especially if you're an Eagle fan in Washington, you know, they're 0-2, they're in a must win. Oh my gosh, I mean, and the Dallas Cowboys 1-1 on top of the division, they get the cream puff of the Rams, but if they don't watch out, because this is the kind of game that the Dallas Cowboys overlook. So, man, oh man, the NFC East is just crazy here after 2 weeks of the 2013-14 season.
Yeah, and what do you think about them Chiefs 3-0?
I have to put it out there. I am not, and if you listen to my show, I'm not a believer in Andy Reid, just not. But, man, oh, man, I have to take a step back off of that. They've got three good wins. I mean, they beat Dallas, and that, you know, that could happen. That's one of those games where you flip the coin. You don't know who ends up winning. But they got the win in week number one. And then they go and they beat the Eagles. All the experts said that the Eagles were going to win that football game. So, you know, props to Andy Reid, although I think he's overrated. He's doing a good job down there in Kansas City, without question.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Reno, excellent stuff. Sonny, hopefully you're going to stay on with us. I do want to remind everyone in the chat room, we have Coffee, Laker Fan, Matt Alvarez, the Couch Potato, and Tim McLeod in the chat room. Thanks for joining us. I do have to put this out there for those of you that saw it and did not see it. Ernie Banks was interviewed by the Tri-State Sports Guys this past Wednesday.
They're getting bigger and bigger stars.
Yeah, there's no doubt that they are. They're scoring big names. They had A. Roy's high school baseball coach. They had the gentleman who was leading the fight against steroids in baseball due to the death of his son. I forget his name right now. I do apologize. They had Tommy John. They also had Dan Duquette. And they've now had Ernie Banks. So the Tri-State Sports Guys are doing incredibly well. And I'm just absolutely shocked that we have not received any love from Blog Talk Radio for Ernie Banks.
Really shocked?
Yeah, I am shocked because we've had 7 picks in the last 3 weeks, and they pale in comparison to Ernie Banks. I think they just don't have any sports people there. It's just unbelievable.
They just don't have anybody who understands what's going on. They're more book people. They're more Hollywood people. I mean, I got love today for Peter Koch, who played Swede in Heartbreak Ridge. We had him on, and they gave me love for that. And no disrespect to my friend Peter Koch, but he's no Ernie Banks. When it comes to sports, so I think I agree with you. I think they need someone at Blog Talk Radio to maybe have someone who knows something about sports more so than, you know, really. If you're not a sports fan or a big sports fanatic, you might not know who Ernie Banks is. Them not getting features ridiculous and unnecessary, and get some people in there and know what the hell they're doing at Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'm sorry if my description of Mr. Cub, you know, and Hall of Famer, I don't know. You know,
yeah, I don't know what more you got to do.
Appropriate. Yeah, I guess I must have chosen the wrong keywords when I requested it.
No, you didn't write a good enough description. That was the last BS that I got. You need to work on writing a description. Hey, listen, it's Ernie freaking Banks. Enough said. I don't need to write anything more. If you know anything about sports or care about sports, you know.
Sonny, they cannot tell me, because Blog Talk Radio has lifted so many of my descriptions. Remember Big go, and they said, what the hell? They're using my word.
Well, that's what they want you to do. That's what they want you to do. They don't want to do it.
Well, right, Tony. But, I mean, they've used my phrases and wording for other programs.
Oh.
And I would point this out to other people. I'd say, hey, those are my lines. So they can never use that line to me that I wrote a bad description because those rat bastards, you fought it.
And the thing with it being Ernie Banks, you know, we all know who he is. The problem is we kept to probably remember or think about the fact that probably both of these people at Blog Talk Radio are probably 20 to 25 years old.
And they're all in New York.
Yep.
And they know nothing about, you know, Hall of Famers.
They actually knew Tommy John.
Well,
they know nothing about Hall of Famers.
Yeah,
damn.
Actually, they knew Tommy John because as soon as Tommy John went on, we did the same thing. We put in for, actually, Tommy John, we knew about in advance. So we put in for that one, and they didn't give us any love. I was really disappointed, but they still gave us love on Saturday, which was cool.
Right.
And, you know, that was awesome. So I'm hoping that we're going to get some love on this Ernie Banks, but my God, he was on for like almost 30 minutes.
You may have to kick coffee off.
Why?
Because Ernie Banks is irrelevant to anyone outside of Chicago.
To anyone under 40 years
That's
old.
A loaded statement there.
Wow.
Boy, he is a generator of controversy, as I say.
He is in rare form this morning. There's no doubt about it. We missed you, Coffee, and we have been saying on the programs, where is Coffee? Almost like, where's Waldo?
Now, you mean, of course, the scorekeeper.
Really? I thought I was the artist formerly known as the scorekeeper.
No, because I'm calling
there
the scorekeeper. I haven't called you Washington. Now, how close did Ernie Banks come to ever winning a World Series? I mean, did any of your teams make the playoffs or even, let's say, the Western Conference championships? I mean, were they...
No.
Did he ever make the World Series?
No.
No?
As far as I know, no,
wow.
He did not. Did not make it. Did not get to the playoffs. But I know that Coffee will go ahead and slam me, and Tim McLeod will support me. So Tim will be able to tell me right away if there was any playoff experience or World Series experience.
Now,
because Tim is... does he do right?
Okay, here it is. He's a 14... how about this? A 14-time All-Star, two National League MVP, two National League home run champion, two National League RBI champion, Golden Glove winner, Lou Gehrig Award, Chicago's number 14 retired, okay, and in Major League Baseball's All-Century team. Irrelevant to baseball. Thank you, Coffee, for keeping up with the standards.
Well, I, you know, there is a method to his madness, but I did get shined by Coffee this morning. What was his comment there, Big Dog? About us being on early in the morning?
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
It's right in there right now. He says, well, if we were on at a decent hour. That's funny.
Now, Hall of Famers.
Dude, Ernie Banks is
I'm not.
Probably thought I was talking about Mr. Bunks from Father of the Bride. They said, oh, you got it wrong. That's Steve Martin. What a moron. Mr. Bunks, remember? Let's call that
And by the way, just to let you know, Ernie Banks was also the first black player for the Chicago Cubs. Back in 1953, just to let you know, he was one of the, actually, it looks like 9th black player in Major League Baseball history, just to let you know.
Sonny Clark? So apropos, I did not know that one right now.
I'm on a list of great things about Ernie Banks, so it's not the fact that my brain's working very well or anything. It's just right up on this website. So
we didn't say anything. I said it was so apropos. Oh, did you think I was slamming you or something? Come on. Sonny.
No, I was just saying I did not know that off of my head. I just saw it, in as far as that's concerned, I just thought it was a very, very interesting interesting thing. And, you know, as far as what baseball history is all about, this guy's a big part of baseball history. And so having Ernie Banks on, you know, I'd be foaming at the mouth to get that interview. I'll tell you that those guys are putting it on.
They're putting it on, and let me tell you, I got the notice from them 2 days in advance, and they were so cool about it. They go, Raj, the PR firm and Mr. Banks' PR firm responded to us, but dude, we're so frightened about saying, well, they didn't say they were frightened, but they said, we have to be careful about this. We don't really want to put it out there just in case if it doesn't happen, and we didn't.
Exactly.
And I was listening to, well, you guys all got that email from me. Guys, if it does happen, please give us a little bit of love. And the minute he called in, I could hear the voice. I said, oh, my God, this is him. And I splashed it all over the Internet that we had him.
Yeah,
live.
You did. Yep. I was online. I just couldn't get in there to listen to it live.
Oh, my God, they had so many callers. It was unbelievable.
What I was going to ask you was, as far as Hall of Famers go, do you feel I'm trying to figure out how to word this correctly. Do you think it tarnishes the chance of them getting in if they don't have a World Series ring? Because I know it's a little bit different as far as basketball versus baseball, because there's so many different players and so on and so forth. It's a little easier to get, it's not easier to get a ring, but...
Actually, it's a lot easier now.
Yeah. Well, there's so many more players. There's so many more teams, so...
No. There's more teams, yes, to pick off, but there was only the champion in the American League and the National League. That was it. In Ernie Banks' day, it was just two teams went to the World Series. That was it. There's a greater chance for you to get to the World Series now than there was back then. There were 10 teams in each league. There was only one from each. There's 15 in each now, and you can have up to...
Six.
No, wait. Five. You can have five. Qualify from each league.
That's right, because it's the one-game playoff.
Yeah, one-game playoff. But I appreciate everything you said, Sonny. And there's some other things that Ernie Banks said on the interview. You guys have to go and listen to it. He commented about steroids, and I'm not going to say anything about it because you got to listen to it. And
what he
also said was so apropos about the kid that caught the ball and took it away from Moises Alou. I think his name is Bartman. The guy,
Bartman
everyone
is
wanted
his
to
name in Chicago, yes.
He said that guy has to be brought back into Chicago. People have to drop that.
So they can bring him back to the show?
No, he said that they have to let that go. They have to let it go. Because he pointed out some other stuff in Cubs history as well.
It's true, but that is just so significant, and the fact...
The players still have to play.
Yeah, they still had to play, and they still lost it, because that was game six, was it not, and they lost the following game or something or other?
No, that was that game.
Oh, okay.
It was that game.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, that's just so significant. It's just like...
Yeah, Coffey's got it right. They were winning the game and leading the series when it happened.
So, that's why they're always going to... Yeah, the curse.
Coffey, Steve Bartman. Yes, that's exactly who it is.
Ernie Banks says they should bring him back, and he's
said it so eloquently, too.
And I understand his reasoning on it, since he was a player. He has a different perspective of it.
He is Mr. Cub.
Yeah, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, there's so many things that go into it. He says there's other things in Cub history.
They had a conversation of other things that have happened. And my credit to the Tri-State Sports guys, who are hardcore New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey guys, I could not have held that conversation with Ernie Banks. They did so well.
Yes, you would have.
They were going down Cubs history, and I was like,
bullshit. I call bullshit on you because you know... As well as I do, if you knew you had Ernie Banks, even if it was 5 hours beforehand, you would have so much history on him that would be unbelievable. You know that for a fact. So don't give me that because they're going
to be... I would have had the history picked on, but they were reliving events that they themselves had witnessed.
Okay, you would have done the same thing.
That's what I'm saying. That they did a marvelous job. A marvelous job.
And you would have also. And so would have done it.
Well, I think Sonny and I would have been, Mr. Banks? Mr. Banks? Just kidding, Sonny. Sonny does great interviews, too.
No, hey, listen. Listen, when it comes to the modern-day athlete, I'm never impressed, okay? But when it's Ernie Banks, okay? Hey, that's something. The modern-day modern-day athletes are just a bunch of, I'll just say it, they're just a bunch of pricks. These guys, I mean, you're talking about guys who wrote history. And it's like sitting in the old folks' home listening to stories from old folks. I could do it all day long. I mean, because they have just such a different perspective and a different way of looking at things that draws me in as a listener. You put these, you know, young guys on there. They don't even, first of all, they don't know how to give an interview. Second of all, they don't know enough about the history of the game to comment on anything. Give me Ernie Banks. Give me the Hall of Famers that have the experience before these nuts. That's why I don't like having interviews with active players. Now, if I get one, I will do it, but I would prefer all day long to do players who used to play the game, because you're going to get the correct answer. You're not going to get the politically correct answer.
Oh, my gosh, Sonny, you're so right on that. Tanya Mercado bagged Clint Hurdle, the catcher with the Meg. No, interview. Oh, interview. I know. The minute I said it, I was like, I hope you got these idiots something.
Oh, Big Dog is on this morning. Thank you, Big Dog.
Anytime. I apologize. I was saying to myself, you should see what Big Dog did. He was waving his hands. Like, hey, you did it. I'm like, no. I'm saying to myself, oh, my God, why did I say that? Anyway, he was fun to interview, Sonny, and I got a chance to talk to him, and I was talking to him as a pitcher talking to a catcher. And I enjoy talking to him. And he didn't, you know, I asked Tanya to have him back on because he said, yes, he would love to do another program with us. Because
he would let me back by her again?
Anyway, so I agree with you, Sonny. But the big dog was going on about Hall of Famers and candidacies about them winning championships. I know he was talking about basketball, that it counts if you win championships or not, right?
Well, not that it counts. It's a lot. To me, I think it's a lot easier for the argument of them to get in when they have multiple rings.
That's interesting because over here, I don't think that really applies to baseball. And
no,
I don't think that applies
so
to
many
football.
Players.
Sonny,
there's so many players. You look at that, though, your scorekeeper. If you look at that, the reason why that it's not as big of a deal is you're talking about five starters on a basketball team compared to nine starters, and then it, you know, every other day you got a different pitcher. So you're talking about so many players compared to the NBA and what's going on. I see the reason why people think that championships need to be run, but you're right. I mean, when you think baseball, you don't think that, well, you don't have a World Series ring. I mean, you could still be a great player on a bad team and still should get enough recognition. But when you talk football, basketball, you know, you've got to win some rings before you get some serious consideration.
You know, Sonny,
maybe not in football as much.
Are you sure? I'm arguing with you, and I'm arguing with you about the football thing. Really?
Okay.
I mean, it's nice in football that you have championships too, but I think the same thing applies to football because, you know, there are a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame without rings, aren't there? And that's not your question. That's
No. I think what the thing is that when you go, whoop, Hall of Famer. You think about it and you just go pop it right in your head, Hall of Famer. But if you have a ring or two, if you're in one of those shady areas that, well, are you a Hall of Famer or not? But if you have championship rings, it just automatically leaps you up to a little bit more. I think that's what – but when you talk baseball, I don't think that really matters. It, you know, heck, there are many players that have World Series rings that are not in the Hall of Fame.
There are quite a few players in the Athletics of the 70s. the Yankees of the 90s, and, you know.
Then there's Steve Garvey.
Those are your bench and fringe players. You know,
guys,
Garvey, but...
let's do this for next week. Let's do this for... No. We should save it for December when the list comes out.
Okay.
We should make a Hall of Fame conversation about Steve Garvey. We should make... Because I am now going
to... So it'll be...
He's got to be on our program because Tommy John is now a Hall of Fame candidate in my mind.
Listen, you know how many times I've been in contact with the PR people of Steve Garvey? I used to send a fax to them once a week for 2 years and heard not one word from them because they got they stopped taking my calls.
That's funny, Sonny.
I started sending faxes, and then I got tired of sending the fax, so, you know.
It's funny because the big dog remembers that when NDV Media started out, no one listened to us. No one.
No
one was like, who the hell are these guys over
now,
here?
Now they line up to come on.
Actually, yes, we have news that's unbelievable. We have several stars from NCIS that is going to be on in the next few weeks. We have, we're looking to get him, Corinne. Hold on. We are starting with several. Look, we're
behind the scenes people.
No, we're getting some actors that have started. But here's the thing, this is the way it works. We reach out to them and they're like, okay, well, let's see who, you know. It's easy to hand the A-list stars, but are you willing to take the other one?
Yeah.
And we said yes. They're like, really? Okay. So we got to work our way up. Hell yeah. And these are actors that have been on many, many programs. So we got an in with the Anderson Group, and we have an in with some others. And we're going to have an incredible amount of authors inundating us very soon that we're putting out a general call to the entire internet world that if you are an avid book reader and you want to interview the author, you guys need to contact us because you will get the book and you have to read it, and within 2 weeks you have to have the interview. I mean, that's the way it's going to work. It's unbelievable. And we're collecting names right now. But
that's why my job was so hard when I interviewed Kim Christensen. I had to read comics for, you know, a couple of days. Sorry.
That was a fun interview, though. He was great. Ken Christensen was a lot of fun, man. You godless bastard.
You just love that, don't you?
That's what Ken Christensen called the big dog. Godless bastard. It was funny. But anyway.
Back to
I'm
all things.
Godless bastard.
There's other... Now, on the flip side...
We're just so happy of all this going on NDV Media.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. To finish my story real quick. No one would come on NDV Media until Richard Ratty came over, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And then he was... You know, I said, you know, these guys are blowing me off. Like, really? Well, let me find out. And then Richard comes back. Oh, I got him. Like, whoa, what's up? And then, I got him. He kept getting all these people. And, you know, it always dawned on me, what's going on? I said, oh, I get it. Richard's gay, so they think he's harmless. So Richard was getting a hold of everyone. And it was funny. And I always joked about it. I said, man... I don't know if I'm willing to turn that way to get all the guests.
Is
that funny?
What?
Go on.
What I was going to say about Hall of Fame and championships, on the same token, on the flip side, guys that you know are not Hall of Famers are gaining consideration because of the rings. But
yep.
I love Robert Horry. You know, Robert Horry is a great player. Was
love
a great
postseason
was
guy.
A kid, great complimentary player, and of course an absolute great postseason guy. He's got 7 rings to his name. So
not
of course
a Hall of
Famer. He is not a Hall of Famer. And the only reason why he's really
he was a complimentary player.
Yeah. So the only reason why he's really getting kind of a buzz about it is because of those 7 rings. But he's not a Hall of Famer. I mean that just plain and simple.
Why? What did he do during the season? That's what we want to know. Oh, there it is.
He cruises.
He was a fence player, wasn't he, during the season?
Yeah, he was. Early on, his career, he may have scored a little bit more.
So but, the Jerry Roysters of the world, the, let's see, who are also some bench players? The Buddy Biancalanas of the world are not eligible for the Hall of Fame?
No, I'm not saying that. Not at all.
Hey, Sonny, that was for you, baby.
You could have went real back in injury to the Daryl Thomases of the
world. Ah, that's who I was. Yeah. Sonny?
No, would you put Daryl Thomas in the Hall of Fame?
No. And I wouldn't put the Daryl Thomases of the world in the Hall of Fame either. No comment, Sonny?
He's probably getting coffee. Or
he,
or he put himself on mute.
You mean he's bagging coffee? Oh, God. Continue.
But anyways.
Ugh.
For whatever reason, brothers and sisters shouldn't marry.
I know. I know.
No, but like I said, having multiple championships gets you that consideration when you shouldn't even be
that's
a second thought.
That's an excellent argument, Big
You
guy.
Know, and but like I said, though, I think in basketball, it's more...
Wow.
It's more about the rings than anything else. I mean, yes, you're going to get in, but you guys better have a damn good, spectacular career. Like a Charles Barkley, a Patrick Ewing. Those guys that never won the title.
Before them. Please. Or, Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing.
You know, the Charles Barkleys of the world.
Who are they? Who are the Charles Barkleys of the world?
Patrick Ewing. Carmelone.
They're Charles Barkleys?
Uh-huh.
They're the Charles Barkleys of the world?
Yeah. Spectacular, spectacular.
Big Dog, I will go ahead and give you that one because you've actually answered that question.
And when you're asking how are if you were to ask how are they the Charles Barkleys of the world, is they have spectacular careers with no ring. That's how they are the Charles Barkleys of the world. That's Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley,
Who would have thought this?
John Stockton.
John Stockton is a Charles Barkley of the world?
A great career, no ring. Hall of Famer, no ring. Dominique Wilkins, great career, no ring.
I want this question answered. Who are the Mariano Riveras of the world? Who are they?
Kentucky, I don't know. Someone that had a lot of fame?
Not even close.
Who's the number two guy?
Quisenberry? No. Oh, God, I can't believe I... Hoffman!
Really? Trevor Hoffman?
Yeah, Trevor Hoffman.
Really? Number two?
Hell's Bells.
No way, really? I'm shocked. Literally, I'm shocked.
The guy that had a 90-mile-an-hour fastball and one of the most incredible changeups. He threw the exact same way for the fastball and his changeup. He was just good. Consistency. He was just good.
Now, how do you feel about relievers being in the Hall of Fame?
Sure. That's their job. That's what they did, and they excel at it.
Mm-hmm.
But the modern-day reliever, just because he comes in and pitches one inning, they have to be super, super.
Like Mariano Rivera.
But let me tell you, with Mariano Rivera, see, he was a middle guy.
Yes.
And he was a closer, and he has the rings. And whenever the game was needed to win, that guy came in and shut the door.
How many rings does he have? Four? Five?
Yes, five rings.
Five rings. So same as he broke in about the same time as Jeter?
He was before Jeter.
Just before?
Yeah. He was there in 95 in that playoff run. That's when he was discovered. The guy was throwing zeros. Sonny, did we lose you, Sonny?
No, I'm here, but I'm here, but I'm kind of doing two or three. My daughter's getting ready to go to practice, so I'm kind of I got you on speaker and mute, so I can still hear you while we're doing it. So I'm back and forth.
I'm sorry that I was yelling at you about the Charles Barkleys of the world. And
is she going to cheer practice?
Is she going to cheer practice, Sonny, or is she going to Washington again?
No, she's going to cheer practice. Yes, so. I got to do the Mr. Mom thing and get her, you know, some breakfast and stuff like that. So, you know, part of the teamwork that happens here.
You need to buy that Cheer Dad T-shirt like the one I have, Sonny.
Here's the thing. I spend enough on cheer clothes, cheer athletics and everything. I don't need to spend an extra $40 for a Cheer Dad T-shirt.
I spent $12. Mine was $12.
You did it right. You bought the ones that we got around here are specially made for people. That
I'll cut it out, Mr. Clark. By the way, Mr. Clark, that profile pic that you put up there, that shows a man who's been through battles, sir. That's a nice profile pic.
Like his guard or something?
No, it just...
I look like death warmed over four times.
It looks like a man who's been through the battles. Good stuff,
that's why,
buddy.
I sent it over to my my Photoshopper, and she's going to make me look about 10 years younger. So, seriously, too, I'm going to put that one up.
Yeah. By the way, it looks like NDB Media may be calling the homecoming game of Legacy High School this Friday.
Wow.
Over at my daughter's high school. So there's a good chance we're going to be doing it on Friday. So we'll see. She's involved in leadership, and so she's got to be there. And so if she's going to have to be there, we're going to see if we can get in and get that game done. So we'll know this week.
I'll tell you, if you don't do it regularly down here in Texas, like I've started to do, man, if you just want to come and do one game, boy, they around here, they say, no. If you're going to be a regular, then you can do it. So gosh, Texas sucks.
This is Southern California, lad.
I don't know if they're that much into high school football like they are here in Texas.
It depends on the team. It does. Like over my daughter's old high school, Southeast, they took the championship last year. They were very impressive, and I think they still have a good team this year. So it's a big deal just a mile and a half away from here.
Yeah, but how are the crowds, though? I mean, yeah, they took
packed
the championship.
Crowds, dude. Packed crowds.
Well, you know, of course you could be...
Winner's draw, even in Southern California.
Now, of course you could be, you know, that with the Texas Christian Academy or whatever it's called, the one in Calabasas, that had, just a couple of years ago, it had Joe Montana's son, Gretzky's son, and Will Smith's son. They were all on the team.
Yeah.
So that would be, those have been great games to go to.
For fan watching.
Hell yeah. You'd be in the stands going, you know, where's Joe sitting? Where's Joe?
Well, you know where they are because of the cadre around them.
Oh, yes.
Oh, there's a word of the day, the cadre.
Is that the Padre's son or something? Or?
Impressive, big dogs. You have to be quick. Well, guys, Sonny, have you noticed the article that was, or the news that came out from the NFL lately about how Dan Blandino has actually issued a new edict about the referees actually making judgment calls and accepting it, because he actually went on record and saying that was a bad call. Have you heard about this, Sonny?
I've heard about it, and I don't know. It's just going to happen. That's what happens. See, I'm one of those fans of, the human aspects of sports, and that includes the umpire. So, yeah, I read it. I feel bad because on something that's supposed to be fun, like Major League Baseball or football or whatever the case may be, the scrutiny on a bad call, where it is now compared to what it was back in the 70s and 80s, yes, I live in old school, no one would give it a second thought. They'd forget about it the next day. Now, man, it's freaking news for a week or two or three. It's one of those things.
Blandino announced last week that several calls made in week one were incorrect. In one of the Monday night openers, the San Diego Chargers were flagged for running into the long snapper on a field goal attempt, as the snapper is now classified as a defenseless player while he is snapping the ball. The game turned on the penalty as the field goal became the 15-yard penalty that resulted in a Houston Texans touchdown. Blandino said the call was incorrect, and he said so in interesting ways. This is not the intent of the rule as it was written, he said, calling the contact with the snapper incidental. Blandino later added, it's a judgment call by the umpire. In his judgment, he felt that it was enough for a foul, and in our review today, we felt that it was not. Wow. It's one thing to reverse a call. It's another thing to say, this is why we reversed it. That is unheard of, and that is absolutely awesome, because he put it out there saying that, look, all right, we get it. This is the letter of the law. but what is the spirit of the law? And that is very important, Sonny, and I agree. I am for the umpires making the call. I am for the refs making the call. I agree that that needs to be done, Sonny, because everything that's being done in the NFL right now and the way that one bad call will live on the Internet for months, years, as Big Dog says. What are your comments on that, Big Dog, before I go to Sonny?
I think it should stay in the hands of the refs. I mean, the refs are human.
How much should it stay in the hands of the refs?
The refs are human.
No, but how much should it stay in that?
I think everybody's overreacting right now.
So, should instant replay be gone?
Maybe if you want to check something as far as maybe them stepping in or out of bounds or something like that, but I mean...
That is a judgment call now?
Yeah, and I feel that, yes, you want everything to be it's absolutely right, but I mean, no one's going to catch everything. And even so, I mean, who's to say that the person... I mean, we've seen it before on instant replay where we can clearly see the guy did, caught the ball bouncing off the turf or steps out of bounds, and the instant replay doesn't say, oh, there wasn't conclusive evidence. We all saw it. Everybody in the announcers are even calling it that they saw it, and yet the guys up in the booth or whoever's making that decision upstairs.
Yeah, I swear those bastards are still using black and white TV.
Exactly. So even they make mistakes. So, I mean, yeah, you can put all these rules and everything, but someone's still going to make mistakes sooner or later. More sooner than later.
Sonny is busy with his daughter.
Okay. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. Well, I don't know.
How do you think?
I'm for the human element. I've always been. I am against instant replay because I believe it's more conversational than anything else.
Now, instant replay completely out of the picture?
I do not want instant replay in anything. If anything, I want the strike call, and that's it. That's the only thing that I want done because that is clear interpretation because it is not uniform. I firmly agree with that there should be a box. All they need to do is on their uniforms to have reflective stuff on there and little lights on home plate, and it lights up. And it's called instantly by, the computer. Called instantly.
So you would take the balls and strike calls out of the hands of the umpire?
I would. Probably that would be the only thing I might do. That might be the only thing.
Hmm.
Because it is, that's why Major League Baseball took the umpires apart and put them into two. They took both of them apart to put them into one because there were differences between the American League and the National League. The high strike. See, apparently the National League was a low ball league, if I'm remembering this correctly. And Tim will remind me on it. The National League was a low ball league, and the American League was high ball, where the high pitch would be called. It was understood. And also, in the National League, a 3-0 pitch that was close was going to be called. Not in the American League. It was clear. You would the famous line, Vince Scully, that was the get me over strike pitch, remember? And it was always called on 3-0. National Leaguers always called it. If it was anywhere close, not in the American League. American League was generated to was geared to offense, so there were different rules.
Later.
The high pitch was never called in the National League, just never called.
So you would have them work something into their jersey that would show up, I guess, on video.
Oh no, it's right there, right now. You could even see the little glowing home plate. You could see it based on the jersey where the lights go up, and you could see the strike zone.
Now, what if you get someone like Pete Rose, who crouch to get that smaller strike zone.
Here's the thing. When you go up to bat, you go into your crouch. That's the way it is. The minute you come out of your crouch, it's just the way it is, dude.
Wait a minute, you come out of your crouch, what?
You're fine. Ricky Henderson was in the crouch all the time, and he hit from that crouch. Every now and then, he came up out of the crouch. Same thing with B-Rose. That's fine.
So do you call the small strike zone with the crouch, or do you have that factored into your equation when it lights up? You're going to have a smaller strike zone if you're crouching.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A lot of guys crouch. You see, everyone complains. They say, well, he always comes out of his crouch. No, he didn't always come out. When the pitch was up, he'd come out of his crouch to get it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You know, so be it. That's part of the game. It always has been. You know, and there are good pitchers out there that can still get that strike zone. That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You make it harder on them. That's what you do. Now, some umpires, and I will let the umpires do it, that they would still call that high strike because they would see the batter come to home plate and they would get that image of where he would stand. But, you know, they stayed in that crouch most of the time. And they hit in that crouch most of the time. It happens. I'm okay with the crouch. I used to pitch against guys that had the crouch, and I knew it. And I know they'd come out of it. But you know what? You know what I would do next time?
Did you high in him?
No! I'd hit the bastard. You want to stay in that crouch, you son? I'll keep hitting you. No problem. There's other ways to exact your justice.
Oh, no, I'd be fine. I'd just keep taking my base from you then.
Yeah, we'll see for how long you do.
Well, as long as you don't get dirty. You want to keep hitting me on the hip and in the back, then that's fine. You want to hit me anywhere on the rest, I'll come after you with the baseball bat.
Sure, we'll see.
And I'll take out the first baseman as I'm going up.
And then you, let's not.
No, but I mean, no. I mean, if you're saying, like you're saying, okay, the guy's in the crouch, so the next time I'm going to hit him because he's in his crouch.
No, I said that if he comes out of his crouch all the time, then I said, okay, I'll get back at him. But being in a crouch, there's no problem. I pitch against those guys. But if I see that he comes out of his crouch regularly and he's not giving me that call,
I'll
go after him.
Well, that's not your fault. That's not his fault. That's the ump's fault. That's not that. The bat, why is that the batter's fault?
Because he's taking advantage of it. So, again,
you know,
I said if he comes out of his crouch on a regular basis.
And the ump's not giving you the call. So it is not his fault. It is the ump's fault.
You never shoot the messenger. You go after the guy who's benefiting.
Yeah, well, no, now you're trying to justify yourself.
I am justifying myself.
Yeah.
First of all, you like to hit people. Well, not necessarily. I was just good at it. And here was the thing. You also would hit the umpire, too.
I have no problem with that. If the umpire's not doing what he's supposed to do, then you just, you know.
Signals get crossed.
Yeah.
Umpires get hit.
And I have no problem with.
Yeah. There's lots of ways, guys. That's why you resolve the things on the field. And I know Sonny's just like rolling his eyes right now, saying that damn illiterate savage. Yeah, so we would. There are so many ways to get the ump. There's just so many ways to make it look real, too. But usually it's a cross-up of the signal. And you cross it up because you change the calls, and you just determine which pitch is going to happen.
No,
and you get cross-ups, so when the umpire behind you, because they're watching the calls, too, they know.
Now I have a question for you. Did that happen in the major leagues? I've never seen an umpire hit.
Doesn't happen that often because it's a lot harder now. But they do get hit.
So I've never seen. I mean, in the majors, I've never seen one hit. I mean, I've seen him hit
recently. I haven't seen it.
I mean, I've seen him get hit, but that's off the foul ball, off the bat.
Yeah,
but I've never seen an umpire
hit.
I
saw it in the '80s. I saw an umpire get clobbered, and especially when it's a damn good pitcher and the signals get crossed up. It's like whatever. But it rarely does happen. But have I been involved? I've seen the umpire got hit. I have never done it. Never hit enough. But have we on my team? Oh, hell yeah! Oh, yes.
And that also was in the 80s, so there you go.
Well, when we did it, it was in the late 80s, early 90s.
So.
Yeah, umps get hit. See, but umps aren't stupid to really go that far when they get hit. Okay? Oftentimes, the ump has to be like really. There are times when both teams are pissed off. You see, you have to see that. When both teams are pissed off with the bad calling, because when the player goes back to the dugout, he tells the coach, that pitch was up there. I'm calling a strike. Every coach will tell you, I'm calling a strike. That's what he's calling. That's the manager's answer. That's what he's calling.
Yeah, so then you adjust your pitching to that.
Yeah, but I told you there was this one guy that was calling him head high. Oh, my God, it was ridiculous. And our coach said, well, you got to get up there and hit him. You got to hit him.
I apologize. I have been remiss. We do have a caller this morning from the 562 area code. They've been on hold for 2 minutes, 46 seconds, so we want to bring them on right now. Oh, no, actually, they're just listening, but we're going to bring them on anyway. Caller, good morning.
How's it going, Raj?
Hey, Thomas, what's up? What's going on?
Oh, nothing. I just called in. Perfect timing. I heard about something about illiterate savages, and I knew I was on the right channel.
Well, I appreciate that, Thomas. Yeah, I was figuring I was going to be referred to as an illiterate savage. This is a gentleman that I played many a baseball game with as well. Thomas, how's everything, buddy? How you doing?
Good, good, good. Just on my morning walk, listening to some sports, man. So if you hear some background noise, that's what it is.
All right, Dodgers made it into the playoffs. Fellow Yankee fan, do you care?
No. Everybody's due a shot, you know.
Have you noticed all the new Dodger caps going around town? Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have. It's sad, you know, there's a lot of bandwagon. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, but I look at it this way, you know. It's more people adding money to the game that I like to watch, you know. So if they want to jump on a bandwagon, that's fine. It just extends the popularity of the sport, and it keeps it going for another season.
You're right. I agree that the oligarchs of baseball need to make more money off the poor people of the world. I agree with that system. Laissez-faire be damned. I believe the oligarchs of the world should rule the world, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. A union man saying that is a disgusting proposition, but I believe baseball needs to survive. It needs to go on. It must live another day. Sorry.
It's all about the trickle-down system, man. You know, the best way to keep the poor fed, the poor that feed off the table scraps of the rich, is to give the rich bigger meals.
You are right, Thomas. There's no doubt about it. Good stuff, pal. So what's the issue with our Yankees? I'm going to bring that conversation up and bring the big dog in. Do you think they're going to keep Robinson Cano?
Is that for big dog?
That's for you there, pal. And then I'm going to go to the big dog because I'm hoping to be official about the Yankees. Because you heard Andy Pettit made it official. He's now done at the end of the season.
Yeah.
The second time.
He'll be back. He'll be back.
Uh-oh, he says he'll be back. All right, Arnold Schwarzenegger he is, apparently. Their issues, Rivera's gone. It looks like Girardi
isn't...
You were
saying no. As of last week, you were saying no.
Still saying he's done.
No, last week you were saying
he's done. No, I said Girardi's begging him to return.
Because when I said Rivera's gone, he said, is he?
Oh, yeah, because Girardi was asking him. No, Rivera's gone. He's done.
Yeah. So much for going out on top, right?
Yeah, well, you kind of hope.
I know. Well, maybe he'll end up being like a Cal Ripken, and they'll bring him back a couple years later, you know?
Well,
have him come in, pitch a couple games, give him another ring.
Wow. Yeah, you never know. I really believe he is done, and the Yankees are going to see next year team because they have to get below $189 million so they can reset the clock.
They don't have to.
Yeah, they do. When you're talking about the huge amounts of money, yes.
Yeah.
No, they have
and
to.
You know, I honestly don't mind a year or two of bad, you know, mediocre play. You know, it happens. You know, from time to time, you got to stop, you got to reset, you got to rebuild. And, you know, it takes a little bit of time to rebuild the dynasty, you know. The Yankees have been serious playoff contenders for many, many, many years, you know. And the last couple of years, it hasn't been extremely hot, you know. That's pretty mildly, but it is there, you know. And there was legitimate shots. But, you know, now we have the Yankees West Coast, also known as the Dodgers, to give the fans something to look at. And You know, I look at it this way. It could be worse. We could look like the Reds, you know? So, we don't...
What, do you mean being in the playoffs?
Oh, man. No, I love the Yankees, you know, and every good fan, you know, you take the bad with the good, you know, and it's going to take a little bit of time, and we'll get back up there. I have no worries about that. I say give it two or three years for a solid rebuild.
I agree. With the Yankees, it doesn't take them long to rebuild. Having money is very easy. Right, Big Dog? We had money at one time ourselves, so it's true. When you have money, it's easy to rebuild. But when you become a... actually, I think I have become a Class A affiliate. I went from a Triple A team to a Class A rookie ball affiliate. That's what I've become. And you got to work your way back to the Major League level. And I was never at the Major League level, so that's our goal, to get back there. So that's what I'm going to be doing. So the Yankees are going to have a different team next year. They're going to be a transitional team, but they have a lot of work ahead of them because I don't really know what's in their minor league team. There are no stars like there were in the 90s when the Yankees were building up the minor league team. I believe it's an average.
Them all away.
Yeah, I believe. Oh, here we go.
I'm sorry. I forgot that my mic's hot. I'm sorry. I sat back down and I forgot my mic was hot. I'm sorry.
Sure, Sonny. Why don't you give us your comments on the Yankees, please?
Well, you were talking about you were talking about how they don't have anybody in the farm system. It's because they traded them all away to get big name players that are not doing anything right now. So yeah, all your wonderful prospects are gone. Not saying the ones that are in there. Farm system now couldn't be great. It's just that you don't hear about it because they don't have anybody down there in reality that people are looking at more so than their own team, you know, with Alex Rodriguez and all the big names that are on that baseball team. So.
Well, Sonny, it is a price to pay, but again, I am a realist in this that I'm cool with it. I understand.
You should be. How many championships do you have?
The Yankees, well, okay, but realistically, Sonny, I am still happier to be with the Yankees than with anyone else. I mean, oh, my God, who the hell wants to be a Reds fan? Who the hell wants to be a Nationals fan? I mean, they suck.
Well, the Nationals, yeah, but the old school in me wants to see Cincinnati do well, so that's the old school in me.
Well, you
the
always want to see... like a Washington Wizards or a Charlotte Bobcats get to the finals too, but it just doesn't happen.
Oh, my goodness.
Gotta love it.
Now, here are the team that's fallen into an incredible amount of bad luck, and that's the California Angels. But I still believe that they have some talent coming up that they're going to be looking for. They've had some significant injuries that have brought them down, but I believe the nucleus of that team is still good. The Angels, in my honest opinion, are going to be competitive next year if they're healthy.
Now, the question I pose to you about the Angels, since you did bring up the Angels, has my social worn out as welcome? Is it time for change? We've all talked about it before. You may be a great manager, and you have all those years of experience, but sometimes your time just has run its course with a particular team. Happened with Pat Riley with the Lakers. You know, it happened to, what's his face, before Girardi? Joe Torre.
Whoa.
That kind of ran its course.
It ran its course with management.
Well, yeah, but still, it still ran its course. I mean, they, you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, has his course, I mean, his time up? Or do you feel he still has?
Well, he has 7 years left on his 10-year contract.
True, but what I'm asking you, though, I mean, do you think still significant? Can, you know, that the team's going to listen to him? Does he have what it takes for that team?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Sonny, what's your comment on that? Do you think he's running? I mean, what the Big Dog says is true. They eventually run their course. What do you say about that, Sonny?
Yeah, all right, goodbye, Sonny. Thomas!
I don't ever knock the Yankees out. I'm sorry. You know, it's you know, yeah, they run their course, but he's nowhere near done. You know, he's definitely got some time. He's got 7 years. Figure 2 to 3 is developmental rebuilding, and then you still got another couple of years of very serious contendership.
I don't believe. Yeah, I don't believe he has. I think the Angels are still going to be in. They have the nucleus. Yankee pitching will suck. Well, Mr. Coffey, you remind me of the conversation with Han Solo and C-3PO, where Han Solo says, "Wow, I'm glad you're here to tell us these things. Chewie, plug Coffey into the hyperdrive and see if he can get the damn machine to go. Go get him. Big Boss, plug Coffey into the hyperdrive and see if he can communicate with that gum machine." Oh, I thought you were going to...
Nah, my throat's not up for that.
Okay. Was that a good Chewbacca, though? Do you think?
Sure.
Thank you. Was that a good Chewbacca, Thomas?
It's passable. I don't think you'll be picking up any Wookiees, though.
Thank God. I don't want the hairy feet.
Well, you just reminded me of another Han Solo quote. Like, just don't ever tell me the odds.
Yeah, that's right. Sir, the survival of navigating an asteroid field are 3,724 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
Look it up. 3,724 to 1.
Probably added Yankees pitching always sucks. And always in caps.
Okay. Thanks, Coffee. All right, buddy. Hey, dude.
Did he say Yankees pitching always sucks?
Yes, that's what he says.
Has he seen a Yankees game ever?
No.
Oh, he's a Mets fan. Oh, that explains a lot.
Thomas.
Big Dog saying he's a Mets fan was just to infuriate
Coffee. Is from the up north. He's somewhere in the Great Lake region or west of the Great Lakes. He's somewhere around there. So he's a hockey boy. There's no doubt.
So you should be a Laker fan then.
Maybe he is a Laker fan. He's a closet Laker fan.
The closet something.
Ooh, that's the most aggressive
word. Oh, man. There's a lot of Laker fans out there. They don't want to admit it. You know, but it's okay. Laker fans are still going to be here. The Clippers are doing a great job of trying to take over the city, but it's just like the Clippers. It's a fad. It's just like the Angels. You know, it's a fad. It'll go away.
Oh, you were half right on that one, Thomas, as far as the Big Dog's concerned. Big Dog's a hardcore Laker fan, and he's also a hardcore Angel fan.
More so Laker fan.
Oh,
it's okay. In Angel News, I don't know if you noticed, but apparently the city council is going to go along with it because in 3 years, contract for the team is going to be redone, and it looks like the Angels are going to drop the name Anaheim
again?
From the name.
Jeez, it's
going to be completely gone. It's going to be the Los Angeles Angels.
The Dodgers should get them for copyright infringement.
Yeah,
whatever happened to the California Angels? I love that. I mean,
they change their name every couple seasons just to pretend they can, like Dwight Howard was trying to reset and trying to get to the playoffs. Let's reset it to zero. Well, try it again. See how that works out for you.
Yeah.
It's name recognition. You got to stick with something.
It's a travesty, though, that the Angels are going to drop Team Anaheim. Either go back to California or stay with the Anaheim Angels. They are not the Los Angeles Angels. They're not in Los Angeles. They're not even in L.A. County. Now,
they say about the New York Giants and all these other teams that are in New Jersey.
I don't give a shit about them. I give a shit about the Angels.
I'm shocked that the big dog is swearing because he doesn't swear. So this is important, folks.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, as far as the Giants are concerned and, you know, the Jets, well, and they've never called themselves the New Jersey Giants or the New Jersey Nets.
Who the hell would?
Okay, that's a side effect, but the Angels have called themselves the Anaheim Angels, and just so for
California
the long
California Angels forever.
Yeah, well, California's fine, but I'm saying when they actually did the Anaheim Angels,
it's because they were purchased by Disney.
Yeah, and that was perfectly fine, but the fact was Artie Moreno wanted the Dodgers, couldn't afford them, so he said, and then decided to change the name, well, because I can't have the L.A. Dodgers, I'll change the Angels' name to the L.A. Angels. You know what, Artie? You're a great guy. You've done great for the team.
Fans love you.
Fans love you because you lowered the beer price. You know what? If you wanted the goddamn Dodgers, then you should have bought the goddamn L.A. Dodgers.
Right? Well, he's also pretty wonderful because he lowered the price of beer. So, you know, everybody loves him.
You know what? Actually, I have a firm belief that if he was not in charge, we probably would have been, you know, talking about the Disneyland Mickeys or something. You know, he did good for the team. You know, you can't argue that. But, yeah, I mean, there's no point in calling him the Los Angeles Angels.
And I do want to clarify my statement about Disney buying the Angels. What happened was they were the California Angels, but when they were doing all that construction and stuff, the city said, we will cover the construction costs, the renovations, if you keep the name Anaheim in there. You actually changed the name from California Angels to the Anaheim Angels, which
was great.
There was no problem. Disney said, you're going to cover the cost? We're in. And they did. And Disney also put in money for the renovation, too. But I believe the city did most of it. And that's why they went to Anaheim. And that's why the city was pissed, and they became the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, which was stupid. Go, Thomas.
Yeah, but just, I mean, oh, man, I lost my train of thought. But
NDB Media Management.
Yeah. you got me off infuriated, and I forgot why.
Yeah, that's why. NDB Media Management. You are NDB Media Management. I lost our train of thought. Oh, my. Tim says he has to be on his way. So before Tim leaves, let's see if we can get this one done. Are you ready, Big Dog? Are you ready?
Sure.
All right, here we go. Okay.
And here he comes, coming over that ridge once again. It is Tim, it is Horse. They're racing for the end of the baseball season, the end of fantasy baseball. Because you know why? He is Tim, the Dorito Man.
Can't just eat one.
Yes, indeed, he is the Dorito Man. Oh, that is funny. He's a Cool Ranch Dorito Man and the Cherry Coke. He is Cherry Coke Cool Ranch Doritos. That's what Tim and I have in common. Tim, we know his help joining us. He is.
Who's at the airport?
I'm sorry. Here we go. You didn't answer my question, scorekeeper. Did Bud phone A-Rod to offer his congratulations on breaking the Grand Slam record? Ooh. Well done. About Aroid. Did Bud seal it?
Oh, Bud seal
it? Oh, my God, you're right. I don't think he did.
No, he
should have. Oh, he was interested in it? Oh, okay. I think he should have done it because Bud does that stuff when records are done. But I think Bud was too busy selling a car at the time.
No, what Bud did, Bud showed up and he pulled a League of Their Own type of moment with Tom Hanks as he was shaking his hand. You kiss my funny wife.
And speaking of son, this is what Bud Spielig did to him. Guys, enjoy this one. I uploaded this one. This is exactly what the Big Dog is talking about, so I need you guys to pay attention to this one. Okay, here we go. Bob
volume is a little high, so bear with me.
And now, manager of the pitches, former six-time National League home run champ, Jimmy Stewart.
I think you guys remember. That's where he said, "That's right, you can kiss my ass, you can kiss my big ass." Oh my god, that one is so funny. Really good stuff. Thanks, Big Dog, for reminding me on that one. Well, Tim, have a great day, pal. Thanks for stopping in. I think he's gone now. All right. We have 30 minutes left. Couch Potato, are you going to have your program on this morning?
I think I even have it scheduled. It's amazing. Let me check. Yes, I have it scheduled, 10 a.m. It's the 21st, right?
That was bullshit.
Who's at the airport?
That's probably me. I'm walking, and there's a lot of traffic.
Right,
don't
say.
That's mine.
The sound that he hears is the cars passing by.
Yes, it's the cars going by, so we do apologize.
Or he's going
got
by
it. No, I didn't know. I thought someone was at the airport.
Actually, Thomas is the Flash because he's going by the car so fast that's the sound being generated by the vortex as he moves down
the
street.
I understand. Yes.
Really? Yeah. You understand those physics? Really? Because I didn't. I made that shit up.
Boy, you've been hanging around the scorekeeper too long.
Thomas and I are history, religion, and sports aficionados. There's no doubt about it. And language. I apologize, Thomas. I bow to you, dude. And language. We go out of our way. I mean, the way Roger and Thomas communicate every day is, did you hear this word? Did you hear this word? How did you hear this word?
you mean the artist formerly known as the scorekeeper, you just did it to yourself.
Well, that's right. I said Roger. You're right. I was talking about my other persona. You okay, Big Dog?
No.
Dog's not feeling well this morning.
You
okay, Big Dog? What do you mean the same cough?
The one I had last week. Oh, remember my Barry White voice?
That's right. How's Barry White? How's brother persona?
Hey, baby.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget we are going to be going over to the Cast Potato Sports program in a little bit less than 30 minutes. And for those of you that need the phone number, Sonny Clark, what is your link on Blog Talk Radio and the phone number?
Well, it's blogtalkradio.com/the-couch-potato. And then it's 347-215-7497 to get in online. We're going to be on air in 30 minutes as we take the handoff from Sports Talk with the guys. And you know, unlike Adrian Peterson of 2 years ago, who always fumbled it, we take the handoff just fine.
Oh, I appreciate that one.
Did you see that first game that he ran back that first play?
Wow.
All the way back. That was amazing.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I hate the guy. But here's the thing. That defense held him down to only 16 yards for the rest of the game. So
yes. They woke up.
Yeah, they said, well, hey, he's out on the field. We'll pay attention to him.
Like, was that him running by? Oh, no.
We forgot he was even played for the Vikings, for crying out loud.
He came straight today. He put on his big boy pants.
Are the Raiders going to win the Super Bowl, their big dog, with Terrell Pryor as their quarterback?
Doesn't matter who they put in as quarterback. They're not going to win the Super Bowl.
Aw, Sonny, am I celebrating too quickly for the Raiders winning the Super Bowl?
Well, yeah, maybe a little bit, but it's not as bad as my Super Bowl pick, who's having the toughest time and probably won't make the playoffs because they don't look good. I picked the Steelers, and the main reason why I picked the Steelers is when everybody counts them out, they come back winning, and they're done. They can't bounce back. I don't think they got enough to bounce back on it unless something happens. They got to figure out a running game and figure out that offensive line. But, oh, my God, they cannot seem to get out of their own way right now.
No.
Sonny, that's the only one that I actually got right, that I said the Steelers were not going to do well.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I got right of anything. Otherwise, there were 32 predictions, and I got one right. That was it.
No offense to anybody, but it's only two games in.
Oh, so no offense to the artist Norm, formerly known as the scorekeeper.
Just like the Raiders,
And well, here's the thing. I mean, at least, and I'll just say, at least you're not a Jaguar fan, who, by the way, is the line on the game is 19.5. It's the sixth highest line in NFL history. talk about not a snowball chance in hell of winning on Sunday. That'd be my Jacksonville Jaguars. They are so bad. Oh, my God.
So who wants to readjust their Super Bowl predictions?
Oh, God, I need to. There's no question I need to.
Oh, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's what Sports Talk with the Guys is. We are always readjusting. That's what we do. And we
just like a major league pitcher on national TV.
Yeah, but you presuppose that we're a major league pitcher on national TV. We're not. Did you miss my single A rookie league tirade earlier?
I didn't
miss it. If you were a major league baseball pitcher, you would be the one that was like waving to his mom from the mound.
Yeah.
Hi, Mom.
No doubt about it. Yeah, but actually my dad used to go to my baseball game, so I'd be waving to my dad. So,
moms get all the love? I mean, it's the dads that are usually out there teaching the kid how to play baseball. You don't see too many moms out there with a baseball cap on backwards sitting down there going, yay, batter, yay, batter, yay, batter. But yet they're out there and they say, hi, Mom.
Yeah, it always is. Remember the Bill Cosby shtick where he makes his son into a football player and makes him a monster and everything, and finally when he scores a touchdown, he goes, hi, Mom! It's true.
I forgot about that. Oh, my God.
It's incredibly funny. Bill Cosby said, I'm going to see if I can download it and get it up on the program for our halftime. We never have a halftime. Our halftime is, hey, we're an hour in. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Money Moon Quarterbacks on Saturday. We wake you up. We jostle you awake. And then we hand it off to the couch potato, the hardest working man in sports. Come on, Sonny.
Ooh.
Come on, I dare you. Hit that octave.
I can't get that high.
Hardest working man in sports. Come on, Sonny, hit it.
That's why I keep it on a low octave. I can't do it that high. It's the,
well, the
hardest
only reason why
working
I
man. I bring it in slow.
Well, the only reason why I can hit it is because I've been hitting it. That's why. The hardest working man in sports. Come on, Sonny. Bring it up, baby. Come on.
Not going to happen.
Big Dog, or Big Dog, can you go high? Or are you still on your James Brown voice?
Oh, by the way, just to let you know.
I can never get my voice that high.
Who are you?
Barry White.
Oh, Barry White.
It's funny you mentioned that, Big Dog. That's going to be my halftime music, is Barry White in today's show. Just so people don't know, it's going to be Barry White. Woo-hoo.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we do have Bri back on with us. Good morning, Bri. How you doing?
Oh, good morning. I have in-laws visiting this weekend, so I have to be a good host.
I'm sorry, what was that there, Bri?
I said I have the in-laws in town visiting this weekend, so sorry I had to leave. I have to be a good host.
Well, that would be a good reason to leave, I would think, right?
I'll probably kick their ass out by lunch.
Yeah, and do you know what we have to do? Is we have to get Thomas some earphones so we can kill that sound in the background. And I think that's more good.
Sorry.
No, Thomas, it's not you. We appreciate you calling in. It's just we do hear
we can actually make out the make and model of a vehicle going by.
and a Cujo in the background. You can hear that too. Name the dog.
Hey,
Cujo.
Right. I don't think you heard the question by the big dog. How is Cujo?
He's doing good. He's all right, I guess. Kept me up a lot this week, but he's learning. I'm teaching him to fight now, so he thinks he's a tough dog. So I'm trying to get him up. I'm trying to call Michael Vick to schedule a bout with the pit bull soon.
There you go.
Just train him on your in-laws.
Yeah, there you go.
But I think it's funny. I mean, I don't think Brian ever thought that he would have to, not that he'd have to, but would have to ask so many questions about his dogs on a sport talk show. That's what's cool about us.
Exactly. How's Wells doing? How's Cujo doing? Cujo. So, yeah, he's good.
It's all about Cujo.
Well, we are concerned
eating lightning and crapping thunder is what he does.
Crapping thunder? Wow.
Well, see, Cujo will win the fight against Michael Vick's pit bull.
Yeah, because they're all dead.
Cujo will run underneath and bite the nuts off of the dog.
Exactly.
The big dog saw my new family this morning. He saw all three of them, too.
I can't believe you're a cat man.
I cannot believe I'm a cat man, too. But did you notice all three of them, though?
Turn them over. It didn't work.
Oh, you try to run them over. They're three little cats, man. The mama with
two kittens.
They're so small, though. And they greeted you this morning.
You did not.
Yeah, they did. They said hi.
I walked over and they ran away. That's not greeting me. No, the guy that was walking
across. That's greeting in cat terms. That's greeting in cat terms. If they just acknowledge you, that's where they think that they're on top of things.
Damn. Sorry, that was my plane.
Hey, Brian, so when are you going to Portland next year?
I don't know. I'm waiting for them to release their schedule, actually. I know they had the first three games, but I want to go to a big game in Oregon against a Pac-12 opponent, a good one. So I'm just waiting until the schedule comes out, and I'm going to find the game and book the ticket and go.
Okay, well, it looks like the big dog and I are going to have to join you next year because our financial houses will be in order by then. We will have to go to Portland. Big dog and I will have to go to Portland next year, and we'll probably have to go to that damn college game, too. That's going
to
suck.
That'll be awesome, man. I heard it's the best place to go to a football game in college, especially out west.
Well, in 2010, when Andrea was going to do the football game for me, and then I heard Lenny was on his way over. He was flying all the way from New York to Portland. I said, oh, man, I got to go. So I was able to go to Portland in 2010, and all three of us called the game. I figure if you're going to come all the way to Portland, I guess we got to go up there. So Big Dog and I are going to have to head up there this time. And
So is Eugene as close to Portland, Eugene, Oregon?
It's close enough. It's closer than
okay.
L.A.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and maybe
I'm excited.
Since Sonny gets free travel, maybe he'll fly into Portland, too.
Is that what it is?
You don't get free travel?
Well, yeah, I do, but I'm just saying that since I'll be there.
Oh, yeah,
there
you're
going
to be there. Yeah, you're going to be there. But I'll be damned. Sonny, I'll be damned if you set up the reservations for us this time, though. Damn you.
Just if I know who's coming along, it would be, I just didn't know. You said, see, I'm never going to live that down. You're the one that said Big Dog wasn't coming, so I only got one room.
Yeah. I said I had three. Yeah, no, wait. I didn't say the Big Dog was good because the Big Dog did show up.
I know, but you told me originally he wasn't going to be able to come because of work.
No. It's okay, Sonny. It's all right. All I know is that you screwed us on it because you said that, you know what, I was thinking of myself and I just said one bed. No problem. I will say that when I had to go with Mixmaster Mike and Bam, there were two beds and I told them, I remember telling Mike, I'm sorry, dude.
but I'm not sharing with you. You're stuck with Fred. Mike just looked at me and he said, dinner was not worth it.
That's a great line.
I'll never forget that. I've never shared that story. But Mike said, dude, that all-you-can-eat meal was not worth it. And the scariest scene was that there was a moment when Fred got up and he was in his underwear, and we're like, holy shit, oh my God. Oh my God, I wanted to die. At least he was wearing underwear. Oh my God, we wanted
just
to die.
Had to, did you just have to tell Mike he fell down some stairs and don't worry, the pain will go away?
I mean, that was the only time that Mike and I looked at each other from across the bed and we said, oh God.
Start doing a squat thrust or something like that in his underwear.
You know, I don't think we wanted to look. Mike and I even went into fetal, and we were like, oh God, no. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're having way too much fun, and I do apologize. We have gotten way off course. We're down 15 minutes. Oh my God! Speaking of Oh my God! He is here, and I'm going to punk him right now. I'm calling him, so he better respond to me right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, bear with me one moment. I'm going to give him a call right now. I got to get his phone number, and he's listening as I do this. I'm going to bring him on right now because we got some NASCAR that we need to talk about. So I'm going to
call
him right
now. Get his ass online.
I'm getting him online right now. You better answer, loser. Here we go. 1-541 Just kidding. I'm bringing him on right now.
Give out the porn line number.
He better pick it up.
Nachos Tacos, may I help you?
Oh, Lord. I was just going to throw something like that out there, too.
Good morning, Solomon Walters. Thank you, sir. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing, pal? It's been a little while. Oh, I guess we got to do the intro. We still have a little bit of time. Try to do the intro. Oh, my God. I can't believe he's actually on with us. We got to do the intro. Here we go. Are you ready, big dog? Let's get it going.
We got owners.
And Solomon Walters. Good morning, Solomon Walters. How you doing, pal?
Good morning. Enjoying a nice, wet, southern Oregon morning.
As a matter of fact, Sol, we're going to be visiting with you next year during about the same time next year. The big dog is going to be up there. I will be up there. It's possible that Brian will also be up there, and maybe even Sonny Clark. So all of us will probably be doing the program together.
Well, Brian will be up there, because that's the only reason why we're going.
Yeah, that's the only reason why we're going. You're right.
I will alert the National Guard.
And the CIA. Rumor has it that we're being...
And immigration.
And immigration, because that means Saul and I are going to go. Even though Solomon Walters was born here in the United States, immigration is hot on his ass. Hey, Saul, what happened with Jeff Gordon being picked as number 13, dude? What's going on with NASCAR with that spin out and all that
hullabaloo? I think it's the only fair thing to do. I would have preferred to see them boot Clint Boyer and ban him along with the rest of the Michael Waltrip team and all of Toyota, as far as I'm concerned, but that's just me.
Now,
but
Mike,
I think,
is it because I'm sorry. Saul, thank you. Now he's the artist formerly known as Solomon Walters. It slipped. I think Sonny just made the connection now. But anyway, that's either here nor there. Saul, are you saying that because it was so overt that he faked the spin out? Because we have team sports, guys. This is what they do. They block out other guys. They do stuff so that the other guy will win or get points. What was so bad about this?
Well, they were in collusion with another sports team. It wasn't just one sports team. It was like, I have my team, you have your team, and we're trying to block Saul. So I went, hey, scorekeeper, I want you to slow down so I can pass you to get more points so Saul won't make it in. So it was two separate
two separate companies
were in collusion with each other.
Okay.
To block the third guy out.
Exactly. And teammates helping each other, there's nothing wrong with that. One-on-one, nothing wrong with that. But when you spin out intentionally and affect the other 42 drivers on the field, when you're not given 100%, when you're resorting to shenanigans instead of racing skills, that's where the issue comes in. I don't think that they were hard enough on Clint Boyer. I think NASCAR got it almost right, which is better than they usually do. So can't complain too much. I feel really bad for Ryan Truex and also for Joey Logano. Even though Joey Logano is still in the chase, he's getting a lot of crap over this, and I really feel that he had nothing to do with it. He was just a pawn in Michael Waltrip's little game. And Michael Waltrip has a horrendous record for cheating ever since their inception. And most people are just tired of it. And Toyota has been given break after break after break. For years they were allowed more horsepower, and they still can't win a championship. So now they're resorting to wide open cheating and feeling they can get away with it. I was glad that Napa walked. I hope 5-Hour Energy walks. I hope all the funding disappears from that team because they've not proven themselves to be competitors. They've proven themselves to be manipulators.
Wow, Sonny, great commentary by Solomon. What do you want to add to that, Sonny, about NASCAR?
Listen, I can't add anything on top of what Solomon Walters says about NASCAR. I agree with him, though. Once you see, it's almost like a football player getting that big contract. Once they got the money, they don't care. It's kind of what you see with what he's talking about, Waltrip. He's got all the sponsors and everything. He doesn't care. So once you lose the passion about how you play the game or, in this case, drive a car, it doesn't matter because there's already money in your pocket. Now, it'll be a different story when it comes next year, when it comes time to renew all those sponsorships and everything. They'll be out looking for other new sponsors just to fill their pockets so they won't care again next year either.
Well, they already are looking. Napa's been with Michael Waltrip Racing since their inception, and they dropped them, which means Truex may be out of a ride. 5-Hour Energy is still debating, and their other sponsor, I can't even think of who it is. They said they're going to stay. So, but NASCAR or Napa was a huge, huge deal because Napa's sponsorship they're estimating is worth around $15 million a year. They sponsor all 36 races, which more and more sponsors, even the major ones, are only sponsoring X amount of races. Napa sponsored the entire season.
Yeah, guys, that one is significant. Do you think they're going to lose? I mean, do you think they're going to lose that 5-Hour Sports Drink? I know they're considering it, but I know anyone else would gladly take them. How do you think it's going to play out, Saul?
I don't know on 5-Hour. Clint Boyer has been a very good driver for them. But times are tough, and I think Napa probably, they had two more years on their contract. I think they were probably looking for an easy way out, and Michael Waltrip gave it to them. Aaron was the other sponsor that said they're going to stay with Michael Waltrip, and I think that's because Michael Waltrip is a shareholder. But the Fiber Energy, they're probably going to let it see how it plays out, and if Boyer does what Boyer typically does, once he starts losing spots, he's going to implode, and I think that'll probably be the nails in the coffin for Fiber Energy.
Well, Roger, you know what that means? That means he's going to be looking for sponsorship. NDB Media, man, hey, throw it out there. Throw a little quarter bumper sticker on the back of his tailpipe.
That is an awesome idea.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Saul. Actually, we will gladly pay for the sticker, and we will gladly put the sticker up, and we will gladly replace the sticker when it has it. You are, wow, Thomas. That's why you are our sales manager. Wow.
Yeah, but you can have a little sticker that's maybe like a 3x3 sticker, 3-inch by 3-inch.
Yeah.
That's about $30,000 to put on.
That's why I said like half a sticker. And not on the actual car, just on the tailpipe, the exhaust pipe. Stored around the exhaust pipe. That's all it's got to be. Maybe we can get it for like $100.
You're right. We'll take it on the tailpipe. We will take it on the tailpipe.
So how big is it again?
Ladies and gentlemen, Sonny, get the hell out of here. You got to go start your program. And what we're going to do is...
I guess I will.
Sonny, we're not going to do the transfer. We're going to finish a minute early. We're just going to go over and join you over there. Okay, pal?
Very good. I'll get it set.
Sonny, get the hell out of here.
Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are finishing up. We are going to head on over to the Cash Potato. Saul, we're not kidding. Brian is going to be heading up for a football game, college football game next year. So as we know in a few, we're just going to make plans, and you're going to have to join us there because you're in Southern Oregon, but you're going to have to hitchhike your way up to Eugene.
So Sonny's going to go see the Patos?
Yeah, Sonny's going to go see the Patos. Are you prepared to go?
Well, let me know.
Yeah, we will. We will. That's why we're...
Is Brian showing?
No, Brian, no. He doesn't know what the Patos are. But if you ask him what the White Knights are, he'll tell you what the White Knights are. I'm sorry. That was a Southern Georgia. I apologize. But it's okay.
Northern Georgia line?
I don't know if it's Northern or Southern. Who gives a damn? He knows what the White Knights are.
The White Knights? Give a damn.
I give a damn over the White Knights. Ladies and gentlemen, we are stupid here on NTV Media. And it's been a lot of fun. We're going to be heading on over to the Cat's Potato. There's about 2.5 minutes. We want to thank everyone that joined us this evening. Of course, everyone in the chat room, Coffee, it's been a while. Thanks for joining us. Tim McLeod was here. Matt Alvarez as well. And, of course, a wonderful, wonderful repartee with Solomon Walters. Of course, Bri called in. And, of course, Thomas this morning. Thank you, pal. Glad to have you on with us.
Hey.
And I guess we'll be talking with you later on today if possible.
All right. Talk to you later, guys. Thank you.
All right, guys, thanks. We are now done here with Sports Talk with the guys. Want to thank you, and we're going to be moving over to the Cash Potato right now at blogtalkradio.com/the-couch-potato. You got it in?
Yeah, sure.
You dumb man. What did he put in right now? We're a happy family. I love you. You love me. We're a happy family. Yeah, thanks. Saul, are we going to have you? Oh, we just lost Saul right now. Okay, hopefully he'll call in right now. All right, Thomas, thanks, buddy. We'll be talking. This is Sports Talk with the Guys. We're out of here.
Peace! See ya.